That'll move on to another subject, but I hope of interest to you. The whole egg shortage thing. I've looked into it. It's a little, pardon the pun, it's a little deeper than you think it is. The egg shortage actually brings out another part of the whole system of the way we get eggs and why we get eggs. And it's pretty much, folks, unsustainable. And it's now finally falling of its own weight. Most of you may have noticed that this month, most grocery stores, many of them, the shelves are bare or nearly with no egg cartons. And prices are much higher, matter of fact, higher than I've ever seen. The retail price of eggs increased roughly 60% just during December 2022 compared with a year ago, almost double. According to a consumer price index that I just saw this past week, there are two culprits causing this soaring cost: inflation and a true egg shortage. The latter is caused by a recent avian flu outbreak that was detected last February, almost a year ago. This highly contagious and deadly virus continues to impact chickens, including laying hens, as well as the farmed animals and wild birds around the world if they get exposed to it. The New York Times reported that about 57 million birds have been infected and more than 44 million laying hens in the United States, and I have a fancy word, have been depopulated. I call that being killed as a result. Many facilities truly are eager to return to peak production numbers, and consumers are hoping eggs will get restocked and prices will get back down somewhere near where they used to be. But before returning to the egg aisle, perhaps we need to stop and examine the living conditions, and I've done this, of factory farm chickens that inevitably contributed to the spread of the virus and the depopulation of millions of hens. Folks, you can only put so many animals in a particular confined place if it doesn't create a true disease-laden situation. This has happened, gosh, when I was a kid, it happened to the little turtles we used to buy in the market. They were raising 10 or 15,000 of them in an area that was smaller than your average house. I wonder why they all got salmonella and got sick. We're doing the same thing with laying hens in these factory farms. Almost all of our domestic chickens down in the United States are kept in what I call a factory farm. Otherwise, concentrated animal feeding operations. They're called CAFOs. We do it with cows. We do it with pigs. We do it with chickens. On commercial farms, chickens are bred and raised exclusively for their meat or eggs. While some farms ensure humane conditions, I haven't seen one, I mean not the big ones, certified free-range hens have access to outdoor space, for example. No, they don't really. CAFOs keep chickens in battery cages, which often do not allow for almost any movement and contain multiple chickens. Each chicken has less room than a page of a newspaper ever, and usually it's a quarter of that. The lack of space causes stress and, of course, physical disorders, in turn making the chickens way more vulnerable to any disease that might come along. So this, think of it the way I think of it. Factory farms are ideal incubators for disease. They're cramped, filthy warehouses full of massive flocks or herds of animals bred to possess almost zero genetic diversity, so if one gets it something, they all get it. Yet producers remain unwilling to effectively plan for these kinds of emergencies. Even with an outbreak of flu already here, overcrowded animal agriculture facilities are unsanitary, especially with insufficient outdoor access. When they say cage-free, it doesn't mean it's only in terms. Believe me, it's not really true. Then you come to the next term they use. It's also a misnomer called free-range. Their idea of free-range, folks, if you want to see it in a nutshell, is they've got, make up a number, 10,000 chickens in one little area, and they cut a door outside that may go out to an area that's 20 by 20 feet, and 10,000 chickens are supposed to find their way to that door and then find their way in and out. Well, it's not happening. Whoever made the rules, this is where the government needs to step in. Free range is not free range. The only one I trust at this point are pasture raised, and I'm not sure I even trust it anymore. I'd like to go see what the most updated rules are on that. But in general, folks, cruelty is the first name of the word for them to give you an egg that you can buy a dozen eggs for a dollar and a half back when. So it's unsustainable for sure. CAFOs, with thousands, and really many times tens of thousands, of hens produce tremendous amount of waste. Think about that. Which contains chemicals, ammonia, antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Waste of this scale contaminates the air, contaminates the water, creating major environmental, human health, and animal welfare concerns. course, the next thought's got to be that animal welfare is not prioritized in these CAFOs at all. Laying hens are treated as literally egg-producing machines on these factory farms. Many of them have been bred to genetically manipulate their genes to lay at least or around 300 eggs per year. Folks, wild chickens, if you have them out in your yard, may lay 10 or 12 eggs each year if you allow them to hatch their babies. If not, they may lay a third of that. You may get 100 eggs out of them, which is still far less than what these, I want to call them almost animal factories, are asked to produce. It is clear by the mass depopulation of hens in the past year that aside from being, I would call the whole business unethical, our egg production system is totally unsustainable. The cruelty of the industry to animal agriculture, just, we've got to quit ignoring it. I hope this actually becomes an indicator for us, not just that the CAFOs are not the right way to go. Factory farm conditions are not going to improve overnight. I already know that. I'm always aware. In addition, large-scale egg operations have made it challenging for small farms with real, sustainable, good practices to even compete in the market. Not everyone can afford to spend $7 or $8 for a dozen eggs. Organic, cage-free, or whatever each week. And again, I don't even trust the cage-free name anymore. Fortunately, small steps still matter. Advocating for humane treatment of animals used in agriculture and buying eggs from local farms. Now, listen, local, whenever possible, are the beginning of ethical steps toward positive change. Think about that. We are in essence, a part of the problem. I was guilty. Well, it's been a long time. I basically do not buy eggs from a market. And I do occasionally buy them if they say organic. I was for a long time thinking cage-free was better till I learned what the situation was. Now I spend even another dollar or two and always try to buy pasture-raised eggs from local farmers. Anyway, I kind of got on my soapbox on that, but I've thought about it. It just made it apparent, things I've already realized for years. I've talked about it on my shows before, but what do you do? Well, now maybe this will bring up this subject enough that the general public will begin to realize that it is a problem, is not giving you near as good a healthy egg as your grandpa got you on the farm. I mean, crack any egg from a good pasture-raised or free-range, real free-range chicken from farms, and put it beside any egg you buy in the store. You don't have to go any further than to crack it and look at the yolk to know there's a difference. But if they do the studies to tell you the nourishment in those eggs, it's almost like it's two different things. One's an egg and one's an egg-like substance that was raised in a little tiny cage and hand-fed till it plops out 300 eggs a year. So anyway, my thought on eggs, I love them. Matter of fact, I did a thing, I think, last week or week before on how healthy they are for you. They're an excellent food, even better than most of us think. But probably not if they come from these factory farms that have their own chickens. In almost every, and I mean every, at least medium-sized town. Well, first of all, if you're unincorporated, it doesn't matter. I live in a town that's unincorporated. We have chickens everywhere. But even in towns that are incorporated, I actually was, I'm going to say instrumental, but certainly a part of an area in San Antonio called Alamo Heights, and myself, along with a guy that's still in the business, a guy named Bryant Montgomery, and some of us, went to the city council and had them change the laws so that people in Alamo Heights could have chickens. Now, that sounds funny. If you're from the area, you'll appreciate that. And we made it happen. Now, there were some rules. You could only have four hens. You couldn't have a rooster. You had to have so much of an acreage, and they made it a little bigger than we wanted. Your average yard was a little too small unless all your neighbors said it was okay. But we increased the number. There's a little fancy thing called a chicken tractor. You have to go look it up if you get interested. It's a little 4x6 or 4x8 cage area, all connected with its laying areas, usually above ground, but the bottom is at soil level. And if you're really cool at it, you put a big set of wheels on the other end. Bicycle tires work great, and a set of handles. And every day you move that tractor, one length of the tractor. And when you get to the end of that part of your grass, you turn it around. And by the time you've done the yard, you've done several things. First, you've given your animals access to grass and bugs and everything every day, especially if you move it every day, that it really makes your eggs and your animals healthier. You've also fertilized your lawn. You've also gotten rid of a lot of those pests that ordinarily, the grub worms and things that eat your lawn, are automatically taken care of. And even with the average hen, not these that have been produced to lay 300 eggs a year, you get a couple hundred eggs a year from each hen. So if you've got four hens, you're going to get 800 eggs a year, 700 eggs a year, more than most families can eat. So what do you do with those? You give them away, or if you really want to sell them, you can. And I guarantee you, it's going to be healthier for you, healthier for the animals. And no, if you don't get roosters, it won't be obnoxious in the neighborhood. So think about that as a little bit of different approach. If you don't want to do that, try to find a farmer. I've done this when I lived up in Virginia once. I didn't have any property at the time, but I made him a deal. I actually used a chicken house he had and didn't want to mess with anymore. We put my chickens in it. I came by every day or so and took care of the chickens, let them in and out so that they were free range hours every day. And we shared more eggs, actually, than either one of us could use on a regular basis. So we also gave eggs away. It so happened up there where I was that I also worked the scouts. I did the photography classes for them. I'm a photographer nerd, among other things. And the Girl Scouts do these Girl Scout cookie little areas, you know, where they put their tables up. Well, this group of Girl Scouts didn't just have cookies. They had eggs to sell from us. And I don't know how much money we made for them, but it was successful for them and successful for us. Everybody got healthier eggs. The chickens were healthier. The environment was healthier. There's no negatives, except if you don't want to put up with four hens, which is really, once you've got them trained, almost zero input. You get up in the morning when you're going to work, you open them if you have a safe area, and most of us have yards that were fenced down there, up there then. And you come home in the evening, and at dusk, they're ready to go in. As a matter of fact, you feed them, they'll usually run in ahead of you, and that's your entire output or for your eggs, except the way this one was set up, there were little openings on the outside. You didn't even have to open their enclosure. From the outside, you opened it each day, and you got one, two, three, four eggs, sometimes six if you didn't pick them for a day or two, and it was almost year-round. They do take vacation when they get in what they call molt. That only lasts a few weeks a year, and the rest of the time, believe me, you get way more out than you put in if you want to raise your own chickens and eggs. And as usual, thanks for staying tuned to Organic Matters. Hope you're enjoying the show.